This is an iHeart podcast.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Let's have some fun. On a Thursday, a magnificent Thursday, where we learned a whole lot of things. Well, things you really mostly already knew about what the FBI was doing on January 6th. Yes, we'll talk about that tonight. In fact, I have former FBI Special Agent Steve Friend joining us a half hour from now to discuss that. The drone stuff, it's not going away. Apparently, it's getting even deeper. We'll discuss it. Joe Biden gave clemency to a whole bunch of people, including some Chinese pedophiles and Chinese spies. What's going on there? And of course, we have asked Dr. Jesse questions all over the place, from Democrats' love for slave labor. What is the why do I care so much about birth rates of a country? All that. Can we take out, should we take out the cartels in Mexico? And so much more coming up tonight on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. Now, before we get to the questions and before we get to the FBI stuff and before we get to all of those things, I want to touch on this for just a moment about Joe Biden. Joe Biden set a record. He woke up this morning and he granted clemency to nearly 1,500 people in one day. It had never been done before. It's the most ever in a day. And of course, presidents giving clemency, giving pardons, commuting sentences at the end of their presidency is always something that happens. And it's always a source of controversy because for the most part, this is not universal, but for the most part, these people are guilty. They've been tried, convicted, and guilty. Obviously, there have been some people wrongfully imprisoned, have been sprung out, but for the most part, they're guilty. Now, that begs the question, why would you grant them clemency? Why would you hand them something? And the answer is usually not hard to find if you're willing to be honest with yourself. Republicans and Democrats both do this. Trump, we'll make Trump because he was the one before Biden. Trump, at the end of his first 4 years, he would do things like he'd pardon rappers at the end. And a lot of Trump's base was angry at him about that. Why are you pardoning rappers and not the January 6th political protesters? Well, it's no secret at all that Donald Trump has had a lifetime of working with black people. It's no secret at all that Donald Trump is horrified by the fact that he's been painted as a racist, when in reality, he's just not who he is at all. He doesn't care about that. And so Donald Trump has overcompensated to the max to try to prove that he is not that. What a better way to do that at the end of your term than find some popular rapper in prison and spring him loose. Trump is out there springing loose people close to Jared Kushner at the end. Not hard to figure out why. That's your son-in-law. Again, it's always icky, right? There's always a reason and it's always icky. But it's always understandable. We woke up this morning and we found a Mr. Shanlin Jin got clemency from Joe Biden. Oh, okay. Well, why? What did he do? He had more child pornography in his possession than I can possibly lay out for you now. And I wish to God I had not read into the details of what he had before the show. Not as if there's an okay version of child pornography, but oh gosh, I feel sick to my stomach already. The things this guy had were some of the most horrific things you can possibly imagine. Now, he's also Chinese. In fact, there were a few of these. Look at this one. Zhang Junju, conspiracy to commit economic espionage, trade secret theft. That's interesting. Xi Chaohuan. I know I'm not saying any of these right. I'm sorry. I only speak American. Conspiracy to defraud the United States, impersonating agents of foreign governments. Shanlin Jin, of course, possession of child pornography. You can go down the list. Why? Well, we've had this talk when it comes to Joe Biden before, but let's have it again. There is a reason background checks for critical positions, both in government and outside of government, there's a reason they're done. I've told you the story before about a friend of mine who was going into Border Patrol. He was going into law enforcement. This is years and years and years ago. And he warned me that I would be interviewed because he put me down as a reference, someone who knew him. And they showed up. I was working construction. They showed up and pulled me aside. I had to go into this conference room. And I thought it was just going to be something along the lines of, hey, does your buddy, have you ever seen him commit a crime? Does he have a drug problem? Something, you know, normal, basic stuff. But this guy who sat me down, he would ask me things, uncomfortable things, things I didn't want to answer about my buddy's wife. Hey, have you ever seen her drunk? Of course, I have seen her drunk before. We'd been to sports bars as couples, watching football games and things like that. But I'm a very private person, especially when it comes to my friends and their information. I'm not comfortable. Hey, have you ever seen them have an argument? Well, I've known them for years. Of course, I've seen. Why would you ask me these things? Because anything in your personal life that isn't all the way buttoned up, and really that's all of us, isn't that you? It's me. But anything in your personal life that isn't all the way buttoned up can be used as blackmail by evil entities. They've had Border Patrol guys busted, many of them, for accepting bribes from cartels, bribes in the form of money, women, other things. They've had Border Patrol guys who've been blackmailed after receiving those things. Blackmail is very, very real. Now, let's talk about China. China is obviously famously this biometric security state, meaning everywhere you go when you're in urban China, a lot of China's rural, remember, but if you're in urban China, they are tracking your every move. It is facial recognition software. If you pop in the gas station and buy a pack of smokes, they know it. If you walk up the street and get some wontons, they know it. You checked into the Hilton, they know it. And that's for normal people. That gets turned up about 1,000 notches if you're a important person, meaning someone in or around government, or even someone in major corporate America. So if I'm an FBI agent and I go to Beijing, they're going to really be following me. If I'm the CEO of Nike and I visit Beijing, they're going to really be following me. If I am the son of a major U.S. politician, they're going to follow me. And when I say follow me, I mean when I make a phone call, they're going to listen. When I'm in my hotel room, if I happen to pick my nose in the bathroom mirror, they are going to have it on videotape. Why is China so famous for this kind of data collection on important people who visit? Because China understands blackmail as one of the most powerful things in the history of the world as far as political power goes. It doesn't hurt to have a little file on the CEO of Nike showing that he doesn't wash his hands after he goes poop. You never know when that may be advantageous. Now think about Hunter Biden and think about the things you already know about Hunter Biden from the laptop and the trials and everything, from the drugs and the women and the business. Think about what you know. Now picture this. You know what you know about Hunter Biden from one laptop that moron forgot at a computer repair shop. Hunter Biden visited China a lot. What do you think Hunter Biden did after dark in China? If you had to guess. Think he was attending church services? and then going home and going to sleep at 9. I'm sure you don't have to work very hard to use your imagination what Hunter Biden would be doing in China. Now, how much of that do you think China has on videotape? It's a lot. The President of the United States of America has been blackmailed for the entirety of his time in office. It's just inevitable. It's obvious. We don't have a media, so this won't be talked about or reported on. But China has vast quantities of blackmail material on the Bidens. You woke up today wondering why a bunch of Chinese guys got clemency? Someone made a phone call. That's why. Hey, Joe. Ooh, I'd hate for this little video to come out. Hunter had a good time back in December of 2020. You want to see the video, Joe? No. Yeah, Joe, we have some spies we'd like let out of prison. Thanks. Appreciate it. Click. That's how that stuff works. All right. Let's talk about a little bit more drone stuff, do some questions. We have to get to this DOJ report about the FBI on January 6th. Let's also discuss helping out the people on the ground in Israel. Clay Travis is actually over there as we speak right now, seeing how things are on the ground, seeing what it's like to live, to make a life in a war zone where people around you want you dead. And unbelievably, things have actually gotten worse. Now, an ISIS-Al-Qaeda collaboration has just taken over Syria, right there on your border. Somehow things have gotten even harder for these people, and they ask for our help. The International Fellowship of Christians and Jews asks for our help to help them. You want to see what they do? Go to supportifcj.org and learn more. Make a gift. Or you can call them 888-488-IFCJ. We'll be back.
You're listening to The Jesse Kelly Show. You're welcome.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on an Ask Dr. Jesse Thursday, because I won't be here tomorrow. But don't worry, I'm not taking off for Christmas yet. I'll be back on Monday. I just have a thing I need to go do. I'll tell you about it on Monday. It's a work thing, but I have a thing tomorrow. We have former Special Agent, FBI Special Agent Steve Friend of the show. He's going to join us about 10 minutes from now to talk about this DOJ Inspector General report. FBI had 26 confidential human sources at the Capitol on January 6th. So we'll break some of that down with Steve, see what he thinks about it. But let's get a little bit of an update, shall we, on the drone stuff. The drone stuff is not going away. These drones are still appearing all over New Jersey. There are reports from other states. And you remember we've had Jeff Van Drew, Congressman Van Drew of New Jersey, he was saying it's Iran, they've got a mothership.
Iran launched a mothership probably about a month ago that contains these drones. That mothership is off, I'm going to tell you the deal. It's off the east coast of the United States of America. They've launched drones, is everything that we can see or hear. And again, these are from high sources. I don't say this lightly. Now, you know, we know there was a probability it could have been our own government. We know it's not our own government because they would have let us know. It could have been some really glorified hobbyist or hobbyists that were doing something unbelievable.
Okay, I'd probably push back on Jeff Van Drew on we know it's not our own government because they'd probably let us know. Our government spends its time lying to us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So I'd probably push back on that. But really, really high up important people are also not getting answers. You see, the DOD came out yesterday, said
there
this.
There is not any truth to that. There is no Iranian ship off the coast of the United States, and there's no so-called mothership launching drones towards the United States.
Senator Tom Cotton is a really, really, really big deal, especially in military circles. Senator Tom Cotton can't seem to get answers either.
I can tell you the answers that you're not getting in public are the same answers that we're not getting in private. It's just one more example of how the Biden administration doesn't impose accountability, doesn't point to a single official or agency and say, you're in charge here.
Okay. John Kirby,
He had to make a statement today about
it. We have no evidence at this time that the reported drone sightings pose a national security or a public safety threat or have a foreign nexus. The Department of Homeland Security and the FBI are investigating these sightings, and they're working closely with state and local law enforcement to provide resources using numerous detection methods to better understand their origin. Using very sophisticated electronic detection technologies provided by federal authorities, we have not been able to, and neither have state or local law enforcement authorities, corroborate any of the reported visual sightings. To the contrary, upon review of available imagery, it appears that many of the reported sightings are actually manned aircraft that are being operated lawfully. The United States Coast Guard is providing support to the state of New Jersey and has confirmed that there is no evidence of any foreign-based involvement from coastal vessels.
Okay. Now I'm going to play something else. It sounds unrelated, but it's not. This was a little report on Fox News. Remember Ryan Routh? That loser would-be assassin who tried to shoot Donald Trump on the golf course down in Florida. Remember how he was discovered one hole ahead by the Secret Service and there were shots fired? Fox News had an interesting little tidbit about that encounter today.
According to their report, the Secret Service agent who spotted Ryan Routh in the bushes outside Trump's golf course was only 5 feet away when he opened fire and missed him. Not once, not twice, six times. He missed him six times from 5 feet. How does a trained agent who passed the firearms test miss a target away, 5 feet away?
Our government does lie about everything all the time. That's true. These are very, very, very corrupt people, of course. But one of the things about all communist regimes in history, one of the most startling things, in fact, one of the things that really brought down the Soviet Union, it wasn't necessarily the atrocities. It wasn't necessarily this scandal or that scandal. Although Chernobyl was really, it was really the straw that broke the camel's back. One of the things that brings down communist regimes every time they go down is the idiocy. Because they have loyalty to everything except merit. It's all that matters is protecting the party, protecting communism, protecting the scam. And when that happens, you can and will eventually destroy the capabilities, the abilities of everything you take over. You see, having a military that's proficient is not something that lasts forever. It has to be trained. It has to be maintained. Having an FBI that knows what they're doing doesn't just last. It doesn't just happen when you get an FBI badge. Know how we've talked forever about the death of everything? That's what DEI is. That's what the obsession with diversity is. The death of everything, I call it repeatedly. And this is why I call it that. The second you stop focusing on abilities, on merit, on accomplishment, and you shift your focus, you will destroy whatever you have taken over on a long enough timeline, you will. How do we still not know? It's been days of this. How do we still not know? Maybe it's us. Maybe it's corrupt. Maybe it's Iran. Maybe our entire government is run by morons. Uncomfortable as that may be, that's oftentimes the case. All right, let's talk to Steve Friend about this DOJ Inspector General report today. First, let me talk to you about putting your money where your morals are. Where do you send cell phone money every month? You have a cell phone. Everyone does. If you're a family, you probably have multiple. We have four lines. I get it. Where does that money go every month? Do you pay a corporation who hates you? You see what Google did? Google rolled out a big tranny ad.
So dry. This winter dryness is not it, especially when I have so many holiday looks to pull off. Thankfully, I know just...
Yeah, that's a dude in a dress pretending to be a woman. Do you send money every month to companies like that? Pure Talk doesn't do that with your money. When Pure Talk gives back, they give back to veterans. Pure Talk's so patriotic, they hire American citizens. Hire Americans right here in America. When you switch your cell phone service, not only is it easy and fast and you save money, you get to speak with an American. pick up your phone, dial #250 and say Jesse Kelly, switch to Pure Talk. Steve Friend, former FBI agent, joins us.
Feeling a little stalky?
Follow, like, and subscribe on social at Jesse Kelly DC.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday. Remember, you can email the show if you want, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Now, we all woke up today and there was a DOJ Inspector General report out. This is from my buddy Greg Price. Breaking, the FBI had 26 confidential human sources at the Capitol on January 6th. Including 4 who entered the Capitol building and 13 who entered the restricted area around the Capitol, according to the just-released DOJ Inspector General reporter. But they're also saying there were no FBI agents there. And there is, of course, a distinction, but I thought maybe it would be better if you heard it from an actual FBI agent instead of a moron like me. Joining me now, my friend, former FBI special agent, which is really freaking cool, I should note, Steve Friend. Okay, Steve, what's the difference between a confidential human source or informant and an FBI agent? People were confused. What happened that day?
Oh, there's some very lawyerly language in there, and you would expect nothing different from the Inspector General, who decided that they were the government investigating the government, and the government did nothing wrong. Big surprise. But a confidential human source is the snitch. It's an informant. It's someone who's not a W-2 employee of the FBI. They provide information. They're paid for being productive, i.e. Getting fresh meat for the FBI to entrap in their terrorist plots. The undercover employee, again, is very lawyerly because an actual position within the FBI for special agents, the acronym is UCE, undercover employee. And there's also the online undercover, which is the OCE, online covert employee. Now, they're very specific with that language in this report because they're saying that there were no official UCE undercover employees there. They don't say anything about the fact that there could have been agents, though, who were dressed in plain clothes, just didn't have that official designation.
Okay, now that I need you to explain to me, Steve, at least conceptually, how something like that would work. Okay, they say there were no designated FBI guys there, so does an FBI guy there just put on his best khakis and go there on his own? Is he directed off the books because they know they don't like how it looks? I wasn't there, and I don't know, and I don't want to do conspiracy theories. What would it look like? Explain it to me.
Well, an actual undercover employee, a UCE, has to go through a rigorous training program to get that designation. And if you want to use one within the FBI, you actually have to put in a request, and they send them over to you, and you kind of fill them in on how you want them to serve in your case. So that, from what they're reporting in this OIG report, seems like they didn't have that there. But that doesn't say that they couldn't have actually had an operation, an official operation, going on where an FBI agent just went there, and they could have gone there on their own. And there were people there on their own just to actually support Donald Trump. But there could have been working agents there on cases who just were not official undercover employees within the FBI, but they were serving in a plainclothes capacity to report and observe. And look, there's actually a good reason to be there. It's a large gathering of people. It would be a really bad security lapse to not have law enforcement present there because you want people to be safe, to exercise their First Amendment rights. And if there's any troublemakers there, then you would have that element there as well. So I think it's pretty laughable that they wouldn't have had any sort of plainclothes component there. But the very specific reference to UCE, undercover employee, I think is the FBI trying to evade actual accountability.
Okay. Speaking with former special agent at the FBI, Steve Friend. Okay, Steve, now the 26 confidential human sources. Again, we're all learning a lot from you right now. That sounds like a lot, but I don't know that that's a lot for a crowd of that size. When you saw there were 26, were you shocked? Is that a lot? Is that kind of the norm? What are they doing there?
Well, confidential human sources are not W-2. They're paid for being productive. A lot of times they will infiltrate organizations or groups or just a bunch of guys have a signal chat, and they'll sort of provoke them to do something. So 26 of them going in, that stands to me that's probably a low estimate for the amount of people that were there. And I think that they're willingness to go in to the Capitol sort of gives away the game of the FBI's playbook, because they will find vulnerable people, people who are idiots or emotionally disturbed, maybe financially indigent, and then they will get them to agree to do things that they are not predisposed to do. And the other thing to remember is informants work independently. So you will have, theoretically, a group of people that might have multiple informants, and one of them tries to broke, and then that sort of gets the ball rolling, and then another one will build off of it, and they will independently be doing it and working off each other. And then, in effect, you could have multiple informants driving a group of people to do something that they are in no way predisposed or capable of doing. And I think that that's really one of the elements that got overlooked that day. And then the last thing is there are informants who work for agencies that are not the FBI. One in particular that I'm thinking of is the Department of Homeland Security. The Department of Homeland Security has 10 times the budget of the FBI. They use informants in the very much the same way. They don't actually have the same restraints of the FBI, with being the Attorney General Guide for Domestic Investigations, Domestic Investigations Operations Guide, because those fall underneath the Department of Justice. Now, the Homeland Security element could have been there doing the exact same thing. This was just a very specific report as it pertained to the FBI.
Okay, so I can't help, as I'm listening to this and I'm going through this report today, Steve, I can't help but think about what happened in Michigan. We talk about it all the time on the show. Everyone listening is well aware of the FBI's planning, coordination, and everything else of a kidnap and assassination plot that they ended up kind of getting outed for during the trial process there. So it really seemed from the outside like something the FBI did and then tried to bust people for. To your 100%. Read, when it comes to January 6th, do you believe that's what we're dealing with here? I don't want to speak out of turn. Does it look like that to you?
It does to me, and I think that that's not just a one-off for this one or even the Wolverine Watchman case from Michigan, which parenthetically I was involved with as a SWAT operator, and we were misinformed about how that case was going on. That's another story, though. But what the FBI's playbook does, where they find these vulnerable people and entrap them, is in excess of 90% of their terrorism cases at this point. The playbook has remained the same for a quarter of a century. It's just the profile of the individual they're going after has differed. So in the early 2000s, it was homegrown violent extremists. And you have the Liberty City 7, who is still the greatest Al-Qaeda arrest in the history of the FBI, yet none of their members were actual affiliated with Al-Qaeda. And that evolved into domestic violent extremism. Those were moms at school boards and people who had a Betsy Ross flag on their T-shirt, and militia violent extremists with a low proclivity for violence, meaning they had no proclivity for violence, but low sounds better. And now the most recent evolution is anti-government, anti-authority violent extremism, which is associated with January 6th. But the FBI actually defines as Americans with a perception of government overreach or negligence. That's all that's required for them to open an assessment of you as a potential domestic terrorist. And then they find the most vulnerable and get them to agree to go do a terrorism, which they never would have done but for the involvement of the FBI.
Steve, is all this legal? How are they allowed to do this?
Well, the Patriot Act, thank you very much, Congress, for passing that through, gave the FBI the ability to open an assessment, which is effectively an investigation of an American for an articulable purpose, no probable cause, no allegations, and it doesn't even require a supervisor to approve. They can open that up and then keep it open, and then you combine that with the mission creep and then with the fact that the FBI has the quota system that it does, where the appetite for these terrorism cases is vastly outstripping the supply of them. And they are just manufacturing these cases so that they can get their bonuses to their bosses in an area of $30,000 to $50,000 a year, which is why January 6th was the biggest case of the FBI. It was a complete boondoggle from the beginning, and they've had it going for now four fiscal years.
Good grief. Steve, you are the man, my brother. Steve Friend, former FBI special agent. He is, I feel so much smarter now. And like always, I'm going to steal Steve's comments and ideas, and I'm going to pass them off as my own over the next few days. I'm going to sound so smart in front of other people. And I already sound smarter than everyone else because of all the chalk I'm on anyway. Once you start a male vitality stack, your mind just simply works better than others. I'm not saying that I'm superior to the people around me, But I'm also not saying that. You see, once your T levels go up, your mind works better. Right now, your mood's down. That's because your T levels are low. Your energy's down. It's because your T levels are low. You're having a hard time focusing at work, at home. It's because your T levels are low. Get your T levels jacked back up and you feel like $1 million again. You want to feel like $1 million all the time? CHOQ.com. Natural herbal supplements. Huge discount on subscriptions for the month of December with the promo code Jesse. Chuck.com. Promo code Jesse. Go lift that fog. We'll be back.
Fighting for your freedom every day.
USA! USA!
The Jesse USA! Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday. Reminding you, if you miss any part of the show, you can download the whole thing on iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. FBI had 26 confidential human sources at the Capitol on January 6th. 4 even entered the building, 13 entered the restricted area, which makes this little flashback to Christopher Wray's testimony doesn't sound that good.
If you are asking whether the violence at the Capitol on January 6th was part of some operation orchestrated by FBI sources and or agents, the answer is emphatically
you're saying
not.
No.
No.
You're saying no.
Not
okay.
Violence orchestrated
Let's
by FBI
on.
Sources.
So let's just be frank about this, and then we're going to move off this and get on to Ask Dr. Jesse stuff and other things. Communists have always sought to find a way to justify using government power against their political opponents. Always, 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 always. They always do it, and amazingly, they generally follow the exact same playbook. Lenin did it. Stalin did it. Mao did it. Pol Pot did it. In East Germany, they did it. America's Democrats have been doing it for years. What they've done is they seek out their political opponents, and then they try using a bunch of different tactics, crooked judges, law enforcement agencies, and other things. They've tried to find a way to make their political opposition threats to national security, dangers to national security. They've always done it. Stalin was always looking for saboteurs and Polish spies, and that's how it was always justified 100% of the time. And so because the communists took over all the institutions, the FBI being one of them, they sought to do exactly what they've done. That is turn being a Republican, opposing Democrats, that has turned that into being a potential domestic terrorist. And so they have done things like they've done in Michigan. What they did in Michigan, Steve Friend just talked about it. That was real. Go read about the trial, what they did. There's a reason a lot of those guys got off scot-free. The FBI did the whole thing. And not only did they do it, they announced it right before the election to make us look like domestic terrorists. There's a reason they convened the counterterrorism division to talk about school board moms who didn't want their kids learning about how to be a tranny in the fifth grade. Why would the FBI do that? Why would they meet to figure out which terrorist threat label? Why would they, if they did, why would they send a bunch of confidential informants into a January 6th crowd to instigate a riot? Why would they do it? Why? Because it furthers the narrative, it furthers the goal of them being able to use state power against their political enemies. They don't want to just defeat you at the ballot box, as they just found out. Sometimes they can't do that. Sometimes they're not popular. Sometimes it doesn't work that way. When they look at the military, look at all those guns. When they look at the FBI badges and guns and authority, CIA, DHS, they do not see instruments to protect a country. That's not how communists think. They look at all of these things and they think, how can I take all those guns and point them at my political opponents, thus giving me power forever? That's, of course, why they did what they did in Michigan. That's why they did what they did with the school board bombs. That's why they did what I believe they did on January 6th. They wanted an incident to justify a years-long campaign where these terrorists arrested our people and threw them in cages. Of course, hunting down those domestic terrorists, of course, it's for national security reasons, like every communist has done in the history of mankind. That's why I believe what I believe, and I always will. All right, let's get to some Ask Dr. Jesse questions. Jesse, the mouse traps aren't that expensive. You need to triple the number of mouse traps you are using and put two or three along each wall in the corner of the room where you're seeing them. Then you can put peanut butter on each mouse trap, but the trick is to put dog food in the very corner so the mice have to work around four or five or even six traps to get to the dog food. I even sprinkle the dog food on the traps. Okay. Well, I read this email and it filled me with a great deal of concern, if I'm being honest with you. Because remember I told you the mice got into the pantry. We keep our food in the pantry. You know what else we keep in the pantry? We keep the dog food in the pantry. You know what else we keep in the pantry with our food and the dog food? We keep rough greens in the pantry with the dog food. What if the reason the mouse carried off the trap, what if the reason we haven't caught a mouse is they've gotten so much nutrition from rough greens, we're now dealing with super mice? It's possible. What if we have introduced these mice to so many vitamins and minerals and probiotics from rough greens that we're used to giving Fred? What if now we've created a super breed of mice by accident? Dr. Dennis Black is going to have to own that. Sure, he's helping dogs and cats live longer with his incredible natural herbal supplements that he sprinkles on their food, but what if it also creates super mice? I don't know. Probably is. Do you want a free jumpstart trial bag for your dog or the mice that live in your home? 833-33-MY-DOG, or you can go to roughgreens.com/Jesse. Highly recommend it. Okay, now, before we get to the other Ask Dr. Jesse questions, I wanted to touch on this because it's something that comes up a lot, and it's something we've talked about before, but I want to make sure we're always understanding exactly what we're dealing with. Jasmine Crockett is that hag commie witch congresswoman from the Dallas area. She's the one always screaming out, white people this and other. She's just a clown, just a big clown idiot. And she's out there complaining about the media.
Well, Kristen, no disrespect to you. I think you do great work. But the reality is that those that tune in to our traditional news sources, they absolutely went for us. And we know that the standards that you have to live by as an actual journalist are completely different from other platforms. And so we know that we were winning for those that were tuning into the traditional news sources. But when it came down to people getting their news from places that really aren't even news sources, they were going for Donald Trump by 19 points. And that is exactly why we lost. The reality is that we're going to have to play in spaces that we've never had to play and make sure that we're communicating in all ways. Unfortunately, we can't just rely on the mainstream media to get our message across.
Just wanted to remind you again that when the communist complains about media bias, he's actually being very honest. I'll explain what I mean in a moment.
This is an iHeart podcast.